From a mental perspective, is this a big adjustment for your young guys who haven't had a whole lot of experience with Aaron Rodgers?
I don't think it's as big because you know, look at a guy like Jamal. I mean, he did play in the beginning of the season when Aaron was available, and I don't see it as a big deal for those guys. I mean, they've practiced with him before. You know, even guys like Aaron Jones have practiced with him before, and the way he's wired, I mean, I don't see it as a big adjustment for those guys.
Ben, when did you get the sense that Jamal was a guy who you could kind of ride as a workhorse kind of back?
Well, I think the biggest thing is, obviously you evaluate him throughout the draft. He shows some good signs of things during preseason, and then you've heard me make the comment before, I think he was just a little bit too conservative at the beginning of the season, and then now he relaxed. Once he got a great feel, just for the pro game, he started playing the way he's capable of playing. And he's very trustworthy. I mean, he's very trustworthy in protections. He's a good receiver, out of the backfield, gets the tough yardage. And so you just, he's a complete every down back, so you feel pretty good about that.
That sort of adjustment from the way he was playing before to the way he's playing.
I think a lot of it is just, the realization that I think a lot of it even just came on himself, realizing that, hey, I need to play at a higher level. This is not, what I expect of myself. I've talked to him about it, about what we looked at before and, during the evaluation process and just, said, hey, man, just, treat it, just like the college game. Just get out there and be you. And the one thing about it is, I mean, he never wavered. He was still the same guy, busting his tail on special teams, still was smiling, dancing, all that stuff. So, I mean, it's made it pretty easy for him. So,
did you at all take a look at your college tape? Maybe you should, did you do anything?
No, I didn't do anything. I didn't do anything like that. I mean, I looked at it. I went back and looked at it again and just, told him what I saw. And just, man, you just need to get out there and just play football. Don't worry about making mistakes. Just do what you love, and that's how your approach to the game has to be. And then, after he basically, lost his positioning, when Aaron Jones came up, from Dallas and those things, he became the number three guy. Like I said, he never wavered, and maybe that was, the button that needed to be pushed.
Does he make many mistakes? I mean, was he make? Even when he's playing
it? No, he didn't make a ton of mistakes. But, the thing about it is, if you look at his reps, he didn't play a lot. It's just that he was playing a little bit too conservative. And now you heard me mention here before where, time he got the ball, he had two hands on it and kept two hands on it throughout the process of the play. And you can't play football like that. It's like playing in a four-minute offense where you're purposely conservative because you don't want to turn it over. So you can't play that way. So that's what he had to eliminate.
Is there anything Aaron Jones could have done better, or did Jamal just become the hot back and you just...
No, Aaron Jones is still he's still the same guy. It's probably more of him becoming more the hot back. Obviously he's got to play more. And we had every plan for him to play more in this last game. You saw we did a lot of, empty, stuff, a lot of no back stuff in this last game, and when it became a passing game, that's where a guy like Jamal is a little bit better equipped, just because of, not as a receiver, but just from the protection part of it. So that kind of, took him out of what the original plan was.
Where do you think you've evolved the most since, Aaron, I think right before the Minnesota game, the Dallas game was when he kind of really came forward, and then to where you are now in your run game. Do you think you've taken some steps in different directions with those guys?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I think it was a step taken by our entire offense. Obviously, we kind of, changed our approach to how we're going to do things and emphasizing the run game a lot more. It's something that, obviously, as a running back and a running back coach, you kind of, you get excited about. Even the guys up front, they get really excited about the prospects of running the ball, especially when you have some, have some success. So I think part of the evolution of it was, a situation where, we didn't, lean on the passing game as much and decided, hey, we need to shorten the game down. Let's get out there. Let's run the football. Let's try to find different ways to take some of the pressure off of Brent.
Do you think
mix-up on the 4th and 1 at the 10-yard line. What that look like? Was that a touchdown?
That probably would have been great. It was him 1-on-1 with the safety. Yeah. You know, it's, you know, which was, we looked at it. When was it on Tuesday? Which is too bad, you know, because we had it. I mean, it was blocked perfectly, you know. So it'd have been a 1-on-1 with him in the safety where my money would have been on him. So it probably could have easily been a touchdown on that play.
How much of, I mean, I don't want you to give away scheme, but on a play like that, how much is the fullback Rutkowski as the lead guy really selling that? You know, how much is that a part of that?
It's a big part of it, you know, as well as, you know, the guard. Probably the biggest part of it is when the guard pulls, because usually that's what activates the linebackers to trigger when they see guard pull. And then when they combine that with the action, you know, of the fullback, it kind of gets those guys. And all they got to do is take a couple of steps, and then we should have them pinned, you know, on a play like that.
Is that part of where you've evolved that now, instead of, you used to run a lot of inside, outside zone, and I'm sure you still do, but you've added this element of power runs and things like that, and you can do stuff off of that. Is that where you've kind of evolved?
I think so. It's probably, I think through our self-scout type stuff, I think it's been our most productive plays have been our gap scheme type plays, and I think we're built to be able to run those things. You still got to be efficient, you know, with the outside and inside zone stuff, because I think our guys do a pretty good job of that. But adding this element, you know, it helps you versus, you know, different type of defensive schemes that you're going to face, you know. So, I mean, it's because, you know, now you can just gap things down and you can collect a lot of different things that the defense is doing.
What makes Jamal so tough to bring down? He's not a big guy. I mean, he's only about 2'10" or whatever is, but he runs like a big. I mean, he's always getting. You know, if it's blocked for 2, he's getting 4 all the time. What's?
I think the biggest thing is 2 things. It's his pad level, and we always talk about accelerate your feet on contact. So in a lot of those runs, when he's getting hit, you know, one of the things that you see is his feet are still constantly moving, and that's kind of what helps to keep you, you know, keep your momentum going forward, keeps you in balance when you could possibly just drop down to the ground. But if you keep your feet moving, you can kind of recapture your balance and gain those extra yards, which is, that's something that we always emphasize. Pad level, accelerate your feet on contact, get vertical upfield. You do those things, you give yourself a chance for positive plays. It's like the touchdown run he had a couple of weeks ago near the goal line. I mean, that's a real classic example of contact was made around a 3-yard line, but he was low, good pad level, kept his feet accelerating and finished in the end zone.